Glory to you, God, whose power working in us right now is doing infinitely more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. Good morning. I sure struggled with this morning's readings. I found them hard to understand. So I prayed to God. What are you saying to us, God? I just want to do your will. And so as I worked and prayed with these scripture passages, I began to see that underneath the questions I was raising was a theme. The very thing I was experiencing, struggle, and a prayer. I just want to do your will. And that's hopefully the bottom line, that hidden desire we have in the midst of our struggles and questions with God. During this past week, a resident of the Canterbury came into my office there. He said he had prayed throughout his life and God always seemed to answer. But now, with his constant pain, he asked God to take the pain away, yet the pain remained. So he asked, "Why aren't you answering me, God?" He struggled and desired to know where God was in his pain. In today's first reading, Abram struggled with being childless. Now, by the way, God does not give the name Abraham, which means father of the multitude, for a few more chapters in Genesis. Anyway, Abram says to God, "What will you give me, for I continue childless?" God promises Abraham that he will have descendants and a new land for his people. But Abram asks, "O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?" Abram struggles to know how all that God promises will be done. But underneath, wants to go for it with God, just wants to try to do the will of this new God in his life. We are all full of struggles, questions, and a desire to know what God is doing in the midst of our daily grind. And so we say to God, "What are you trying to tell me? Why won't you take this pain away? Why am I hitting the wall? How do I get rid of anxiety and stress? When will my house sell? How will I pay my bills? When will this grief end? How can you ask any more of me, God? What are you saying to me? I just want to do your will." Yet our questions can trap us. We focus on them. And if we say to God, "I just want to do your will," it almost gets lost in the feeling of struggle. "I just want to do your will" is sometimes a last resort sentence. We are actually afraid to be left on our own. It seems when all else fails, we finally surrender to God. We are in good company. Abram struggled and Jesus struggled. The appointed psalm for today describes struggle and surrender. There is talk of armies, wars, and trouble. I propose that these words of army, wars, and trouble are actually a good description for the feelings we have inside of us and all that surrounds us. Aren't some of your feelings battling each other? "Yes, I do want to do that," or "No, I shouldn't." And aren't some of us overwhelmed trying to get through the battles of each day? The battles that rage within and those we faced outside. And what about the personal wars of pain, loneliness, isolation? What about the battle we face with economic fears? These battles within can be psychological, emotional, mental, physical, spiritual. We can battle insecurity, depression, sadness, laziness, doubt, failure, grief, and just not feeling up to doing one more thing. Now, what may give us hope is that Abram was trying to deal with his issues too. Who was God, and how was God going to deliver on a promised land? God asked him to participate in the journey toward an answer, a journey toward a personal relationship with God, like God invites each of us. Abram had to get involved. He had to show up, make an effort to receive God's promise. Abram had to do the work of a relationship, and so do we. For Abram, he had to run down a heifer, a ram, and a goat, along with a turtle dove and a young pigeon. All this God asked of him. Then he had to cut the big ones in half down the center. Can you imagine all that blood? Then he needed to shoo away the flies and the birds of prey. Finally, it was night. Abraham was exhausted. But in this state of emptiness and tiredness, then he received God's covenant, God's assurance, by way of a smoking pot and flaming torch passing through the animals. A pretty dramatic way for God to show Abram that he was showing up. God began a covenant relationship with Abram, a personal relationship rooted in unconditional love that changed the face of the world. In the midst of struggle, exhaustion, and questions, Abram's heart was then prepared for a relationship with God. And in the midst of Abram's efforts, I am sure was a mysterious desire. I just want to do your will. That desire to do God's will can be a fallback statement or a passion. For Jesus, it was his passion. For Jesus, his food was to do the will of the Father. So, when the Pharisees warned Jesus that Herod was out to kill him, his answer included that nothing was going to stop him from carrying out his mission. His mission was to reveal God's love. But love costs. It can be rejected. And Jesus felt that rejection as he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. And you were not willing." Jesus chose to describe his personal love for us like the protective love of a mother hen with her chicks. A hen is completely devoted to her chicks. Jesus is completely devoted to us. Now, Jesus probably grabbed this metaphor as a hen and her chicks went scurrying through his audience. I'm sure many of you have seen or have had chickens as pets. Now, before those cute little love balls of yellow feathers become chicks, they need the devotion of a mother hen's constant love. For 3 weeks, a mother hen sits on her nest of eggs, keeping them warm until they hatch. She might leave the nest just once or twice a day to eat and drink water, to pee and poop. And after the chicks are hatched, she keeps them under her wings until their feathers come and fluff out. During their time with her chicks, she teaches them to scratch for food and how to be chicks in the world. Jesus was trying to teach his disciples the art of being human, to love as he did. Jesus chose to use this mother hen example of devoted love at a moment when his heart was breaking. And how many times has your heart been broken when a son or daughter rejects your values and goes off and does the opposite? Jesus feels the same pain and grief that you do. The Pharisees and many who had been with him had not been willing to believe in him. So Jesus said, "Well, I tried to show you the way, the truth, and the life, but you were not willing. So go it on your own. Stew in your struggles, but I will be back. You will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" We are blessed. We know the whole story. The Gospels offer Jesus as the answer. And Jesus says of himself, "Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome." There are so many places in Scripture to help us through our struggles. Throughout the Psalms and Epistle, we hear those phrases, like today, "Stand firm in the Lord." And in today's appointed psalm are phrases of comfort and surrender. "The Lord is the strength of my life. Though an army encamp against me, yet my heart shall not be afraid. In the day of trouble, God will keep me safe." Jesus prayed these words all his life. Jesus faced struggle like we all do, but kept his heart focused on the will of God for him. Not the old fox Herod, or the disappointment and grief he obviously felt from those who did not believe in him, stopped him from going forward to fulfill his mission of devoted love. Jesus did not take a detour around the suffering and death that he would face. Martin Luther King Jr. kept his eyes fixed on Jesus and on his sense of purpose and mission. Today is the last day of Black History Month. Martin Luther King's life is an example of struggle, rooted in faith in God and a desire to do God's will. On April 3, 1968, Dr. Martin Luther King preached these following words at the Bishop Charles Mason Temple in Memphis. "Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter now because I have been to the mountaintop and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not worried about that now. I just want to do God's will." And he allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I have looked over, and I've seen the promised land. And I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Dr. King went back to his room at the Lorraine Motel. And the very next afternoon, as he was standing on the balcony, a shot rang out and he was killed. He had fulfilled his part of the mission and left the rest of the work for others to do. Jesus has fulfilled his mission and has left us the work of sharing the good news of God, the good news of God's unconditional love. We have to believe in this love of God, that it is real, and accept a personal relationship with God. Abram believed and followed God on the road to the promised land. Martin Luther King believed and said, "I just want to do God's will." Jesus believed, "My food is to do the will of the Father." Jesus, traveling on that road to Jerusalem, was doing exactly what God wanted of him. Where are you on your road with God? You may have all kinds of questions and prayer requests for God. You might be having a crisis of faith. You might be saying, "Where are you, God? Why aren't you clearer?" Or you might have such a satisfactory life that you don't really give God a second thought. Lent is an opportunity for self-evaluation. Maybe we need to shut down our idea of God as a dispenser for prayer requests and renew a personal relationship with God through love of God, self, and others. Maybe it truly is a come to Jesus time in your life and learn to walk deeper and closer his way, his truth, his love. Stand firm in the Lord always. And if your heart is full of questions like, "What are you saying to me, God?" may your question include, "I just want to do your will." Amen.